Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. You look a bit tired. Not that I'm judging, mind you. I mean, in today's day and age, we can all be overwhelmed by people, work, and devices that vie for our attention. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a place, a haven, that we could retreat to, where we could rest our weary heads and recharge? A place, a chamber, if you will, that could almost be dedicated to the nightly act of self-renewal. A comfy spot where we could, I don't know, crawl onto a soft, plush, elevated platform for slumber. Okay, enough of that. Bedroom. We are talking about a bedroom, of course. And wouldn't you know it, it was our very own Uncle Will that coined it. Up until that time, the more archaic bedchamber was the common name for our slumbering quarters, and one would think that the move from chamber to room, a more generalized user-friendly term for the mass majority who didn't reside in castles, seems to make some sense. But William wasn't expressing some socio-progressive egalitarian sentiment, but was rather working out a pun. A sexy pun. And he wasn't even indoors. Bedroom, indeed, does not appear in the vast castle of Hamlet's Elsinore. In fact, the heated Hamlet-Gertrude scene where Polonius is killed is called the bedchamber scene. Nor do we find it in the Venetian palace where Othello and Desdemona reside and where the play concludes with a bit of pillow-smothering action. But the gentle feather of inspiration fluttered down and found Uncle Will while he was writing his comedy, A Midsummer Night's Dream, set largely in the verdant vastness of the Sylvan Woods outside of Athens. The play so far. Theseus, the Duke of Athens, plans his wedding to Hippolyta, while Aegeus demands his daughter Hermia marry Demetrius, despite her love for Lysander, which is reciprocated. Fleeing to the forest, Hermia and Lysander are pursued by the spurned Demetrius and the lovelorn Helena, who loves Demetrius with a fervor that is nothing short of pitiable. As the night deepens in the enchanted forest, Lysander and Hermia, exhausted from their escape, decide to rest. Lysander, with all the chivalrous subtlety of a spotty, shag-happy Shakespearean teenager, proposes they sleep close together, to which Hermia, preserving her maidenly decorum, insists on a more respectable distance.
Find you out of bed, for I upon this bank will rest my head.
One turf shall serve as pillow for us both. One heart, one bed, two bosoms, and one troth.
Nay, good Lysander, for my sake, my dear, lie further off yet, do not lie so near.
Oh, take the sense, sweet, of my innocence. Love takes the meaning in love's conference. I mean that my heart unto yours is knit, so that but one heart we can make of it. Two bosoms interchained with an oath, so then two bosoms and a single troth. And by your side, no bedroom me deny, for lying so, Hermia, I do not lie.
Actually, I think you do. No bedroom me deny, room to bed down, or did you mean boudoir? But fear not, Hermia is wise to him. After all she really had to do was look at the way he was looking at her. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.